Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Episode 39, we thought you'd never arrive.
Hello.
Welcome to We Are The Watchers. Like I said, episode 39, we have got a really cool different quiz today. Ooh. Where you and I both have to use our brains.
Okay.
And be creative.
Sure.
I reckon we can do it.
I think so.
Yeah. We've got it in our powers, superpowers. Lots of stuff that's happened this week.
So much. Been a busy week.
Been a very busy week. Mm. Not only in stuff that we've watched, but in news as well.
Yeah.
Which is exciting.
I know. So much to discuss.
But the problem with some of it is each day it changes.
Yeah. Back and forth.
back and forth.
What story are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about the James Bond Idris Elba one at the moment. Like over the course of the week, it was yes, he is, no, he isn't. Yes, he is, no, he isn't, which we've had before.
Mm-hmm.
And as of the recording, no, he isn't.
And that's from the producers, right?
That's from the producers.
They said they're not casting until this film's finished filming?
That's right.
That seems fair.
Now, I don't necessarily want to talk too much about the story because we've all sort of, like if you've been anywhere near social media, you'll know that it's on and off, on and off, on and off. But do you think in terms of producers and directing and casting and all that sort of stuff, would they make a mistake in casting anybody else except for Idris Elba as the next James Bond?
I think you put too much faith in common sense.
I know that Tom Hardy's name has been thrown around a bit as well over the past few years. I feel it's not been as long as Idris's has been.
He's been on the scene for a good 6 years or something.
A long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're not convinced that perhaps they'll actually think maybe we should go for him? He's the man, obviously, everybody wants it. Should producers cater to the internet?
Oh, look, there's a group mentality, group think happening, and it is a great casting option, but I'm sure there's plenty of other casting options that we wouldn't even consider.
True.
Of someone that would be amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those roles that people can chameleon into. Oh, look, I haven't watched Bond for a while. I'm not a fan of Daniel Craig Bond.
No, I saw the first two of his.
I saw those as well, and that was enough for me.
Yeah.
You know, I like Pierce Brosnan.
He was good.
I enjoyed cheesy sort of...
He was sort of between your Daniel Craig and your Roger Moore, who was super cheesy.
I loved Roger Moore as well.
Yeah,
I like the cheesy version rather than the gritty, serious one. So I think Idris would be an amazing choice.
He would be gritty.
Yeah, if they continue in the Daniel Craig direction. But if they choose to go back the other way and make it more lighthearted, I could see them choosing someone else. My question is, if Tom Hardy got the role, what sort of silly voice would he do?
What if he did his own? I don't actually think I know what his real voice is.
He's very quiet.
Really?
Yeah. He doesn't...
Very quiet lad.
He doesn't like public speaking or any of this sort of stuff.
Mm.
Yeah.
So he's definitely in the wrong profession then.
Well, he loves acting, you know, being pretend behind a mask, that sort of stuff, or behind half a mask.
That's probably his favourite. Another one that I saw that was back and forth over the week was the whole Ruby Rose and Batwoman shenanigans, where I think you told me first.
Yeah.
That's how I knew first, through the Tom News cycle. And you said you were not angry with it. You know, it kind of makes sense. Yeah. You know, that could work.
Look, she's not the best actress, but...
She's there. She's got there. A name. She's got an audience who will follow her.
I think she'll have the cold demeanour that Batwoman quite often has.
Yeah.
Which is a very cool thing of being quite aloof and standoffish with other characters. And, you know, I've seen her do that in a couple of things. Mm. Actually... rewatched John Wick 1 and 2 this week.
Yeah, right.
Just to, look, partly because Deadpool 2 is about to come out and same director. And, I just wanted to, she plays a mute assassin in that and, it's fine.
And, of course, Meg came out.
Yeah.
So she was in that.
Yeah, so that comes out in Australia on Thursday.
Excited?
You're
there?
I'm going to go 6:30 Wednesday night, I think there's a screening on.
Yeah, that's fun. Oh, that's fun. Some... good fun.
Yeah.
So in the whole first wave of reaction over the internet seemed quite, we're happy with that. Oh, okay, Ruby Rose. Yeah, cool, we know her. Next wave was the toxicity wave that came and swamped her so much so that she quit Twitter.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, she'll be back. As of the recording, she's not back yet.
Well, the term being used is wrong type of lesbian.
Oh, please.
Because I think she identifies as pansexual or...
Okay.
But it's the most niggly thing of...
But she's an actress.
Exactly. Batwoman is a lesbian Jewish superhero. And Ruby Rose is not Jewish.
She's an actress.
She's an actress. And... perhaps she doesn't identify specifically as lesbian, but...
still an actress.
Still an actress.
Yeah.
It's just, can you not be happy that this is happening?
Yeah.
Rather than just, it's not how I imagined.
Yeah.
Piss off.
It could go two ways for her now,
mm-hmm.
and I suspect it's probably the second one. The first one could be she lets it rattle her,
yep.
and her performance of Batwoman does not live up to scrutiny. Second is potentially what I think will happen is that she takes it and goes, okay, you don't think I'm good, you don't think I'm worthy, and she's going to make the best Batwoman she possibly can make, and people will go, okay, she's all right. We're fine with her now.
It's just stupid knee-jerk reaction. We haven't seen her in costume. We haven't seen anything.
We've not seen anything.
There's nothing to judge
it's
on.
It's super early. Yeah. Super early days. So when will we first see her? She'll be in the...
crossover.
The Arrowverse, sort of.
Yes. Every year the Arrowverse does a crossover between four shows, and she'll be appearing in that, and that will be... The Arrowverse has been very good at doing backdoor pilots, so they've never just launched a character. It's always been part of some...
It's clever.
There was two episodes of Arrow that had Barry Allen, who... during the course of those, there was the lightning storm that gave him his powers. So when the Flash started, there was a brief recap and it could just launch.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff. It's a really good
way. It's a really nice introduction.
Yes. So I suspect that they're going to be doing that.
That's later in the year, is it?
Yeah, normally around November.
Yeah.
It's generally the last week of episodes before they go on their winter break.
They have their little break, yeah.
Still trying to make Fetch happen? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
What other stories have you got?
Sure. So the Oscars have shook things up a bit, and they've announced that they're adding a popular film category, which is a...
How did the internet go with that?
Well, look, bit of background. A few years ago, they changed Best Picture from 5 to 10 of how many films could be nominated, and that was largely because people were so pissed off about The Dark Knight and things like that were quite worthy not being included.
Mm.
And also, Oscar viewing has dropped dramatically over the years because, I watch a lot of movies, and the last few Oscars, there's been maybe two of the best pictures that I've seen.
And a lot of the more popular movies will be nominated in other categories, so like special effects and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Which are, they're still amazing, but they're not really the newsworthy awards.
I also feel like there's two parts. One, I think Black Panther has been such a juggernaut this year that for the Oscars not to properly recognize it, there's going to be some backlash, is a nice way of putting it. And also, the specter of Harvey Weinstein hangs heavy over the Oscars. And all these critical darling films that was his bag for so many years... Mm. They need to kind of distance themselves from that a little bit.
Interesting.
So by including a popular film category, they can bung in stuff that wouldn't ever really get a recognition.
This might end up being the hotly contested category.
I think contested, but also probably the most viewed category. Mm-hmm. Because if you've gone to the Blockbuster and seen a couple of movies, suddenly you've got something to support at the Oscars that's not just nominated for Best Costume and Special Effects.
Well, already I can sort of imagine something like Mission Impossible, the latest installment getting up there.
Yeah. Well, you look at last year, Logan would have been in that for sure because it's such a different take.
Yep.
Still a high art film, but because it was superhero, it wasn't considered worthy.
Man, it really does open it up. Now I'm thinking about it. You've got Avengers.
Yeah.
You've got whatever installment we'll get for Star Wars. The third one? Yeah, the third one.
That's not till next year. Yeah, so
the only Star Wars one they'll have is the Han Solo.
Yeah, that's not getting anything.
Not getting in there.
Maybe costumes.
Maybe, yeah. Interesting.
Yes. So I'm not sure how that one's judged and voted upon, whether that's a public thing, whether
probably
it's box
not.
Office or what. They don't generally allow the public any involvement.
And they've got enough of an academy to go, because if you were... I don't know if it's if you're nominated, but definitely if you win an award, an Oscar, you're in the Academy and you vote from that day forward.
Yep.
So they collect people as the years go.
Well, there's going to be some crazy campaigning, because the Oscars campaigning is always very clever, but it's generally for small art house films that have a restricted budget.
You've just had me think about it because you mentioned Deadpool before.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Their submission would be amazing.
It's going to be, they're already planning, you know.
Yeah. I could see some finger snapping related stuff from Marvel, you know.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Yes. So I'm very excited to see what that leads to from there. Now, look, I mentioned John Wick, that I'd watched those. I'm very excited because some more details have started coming out for John Wick 3, which is coming out, I think, May next year. It's not long. But obviously John will be on the run or trying to get out of New York City and whatever like that. But the part I've been a little more interested in digging into is there's actually a spin-off TV show coming called The Continental, which is set in the hotel.
Right.
So in the John Wick films, there's a hotel that's considered neutral ground. You can't conduct business there is a nice way of saying no killing.
That's nice.
And Ian McShane runs the hotel. Lance Riddick, who he's on Corporate and he was on Fringe and was on Lost. You've seen a lot of stuff. He's
whole heap of stuff.
Yes,
yeah.
He plays like the receptionist, concierge, that sort of stuff. I believe they're all coming back to play their roles. So
what are the chances of Keanu?
He's executive producing.
Oh, so pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah. I imagine he'll drop in. But just those films are really great at world building, and there's these characters that pop in and don't really do anything. It might only be on screen for 30 seconds a minute, but it makes you interested in what their life is like. So a show based around that, I think, is going to be pretty great.
Yeah, and have that whole ambiance of John Wick as well.
They're really well shot and choreographed and this sort of stuff. But, and there's a mythology. There's coins and markers and all sorts of things that they can build this really rich world around. So that show's coming on Stars, which are the guys that make American Gods.
Oh, right, yep.
And they've had some cool shows over the years. And
American Gods is amazing.
Exactly. Mm. So that's why I can see Ian McShane coming over, because he's so prominent in that.
Yep.
I believe they're looking to have that around the same time as John Wick 3.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Potentially even slightly after to ride the wave of success.
Yeah. So I'm very keen to see more of that coming. From a show that there's been nothing... No more details other than the headline of American Gladiators is coming back, executive produced by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg.
Interesting.
How much fun is that going to be?
That tells me, at least, there's going to be a level of not taking themselves too seriously.
Yes. It's going to be shenanigans filled.
Yeah.
It's going to be more like Wipeout.
Yeah, exactly.
And there'll be some fantastic names that they come up with.
Do you think they're going to go back to the originals?
I don't know. I think, look, Vulcan, that sort of those names are very strong, but I can see these guys really picking a few great cherries on the top.
Well, you just go, what? How did you come up with that? So I'm now a little bit worried that if there is success behind this new look, Gladiators, that we'll get an Australian Gladiators again.
And it'll be poor.
And it will not do anything.
They'll get
like the American
Shane
one will.
Shane Jacobson or... I mean, look, if you had kind of my dream show is Russell Coit hosting Survivor.
Oh, yes.
I think if they were to go that angle, that could really work.
It'd
for an
work.
Aussie
just
one.
Let Aussies know straight off the bat this is the tone that we're going for.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll go along for the ride.
So I have no further news on that.
That it's happening.
Just that it's happening.
Cool. Being greenlit.
Yes. So Star Trek IV. Is in some serious hot water over the last few days. I don't know if you've seen.
No, I missed it. What happened?
Chris Pine and Chris Hemsworth, who plays his father, have both walked away from the film.
Holy cow. Now, Chris Pine, of course, plays a slightly small role.
Yes.
He's the big guy.
Yeah, James T. Kirk, and does it very well. No, it's over contract negotiations. Basically, the last Star Trek film didn't do as well as expected at the box office. So Paramount said, we need to cut corners, so we're looking to reduce your pay. And Chris Pine and Chris Hemsworth, neither of them are looking for work. You know what I mean? If you're good at something, don't do it for free.
Yeah.
And they have contracts in place and, you know, they're prepared to honour them, but Paramount aren't going to pay them, so they've walked. So it's a matter of wait and see at the moment. Mm. Chris Hemsworth, I could see them easily recasting. He was only briefly in the first film. Okay. And then there was going to be time travel or something in this film.
I guess they're there. They want him for the name, basically.
He's a big name. At this but point. If there's time travel happening and Kirk can go and meet his father, that's a very cool.
And there are other Hemsworths.
Yeah. Exactly. There's plenty of other Hemsworths to choose from. Or just tell a different story.
Yeah.
You know, there's all sorts of rumours flying about other things, like maybe they're not happy about the idea of working on a Tarantino film. Which,
really?
Who doesn't want to work on a Tarantino film?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm buying that rumour.
No. So I think it's just money, but we'll see. So we talked about the Meg. It opened at the box office more than double the box office predictions. Good on you, Meg.
That's great. Yeah. Because it came across as a movie that wasn't going to take itself too seriously because, I mean, it's talking about a giant shark.
Yep.
And I thought maybe it might have just been a, what are you up to? Do you feel like going to see a movie kind of thing instead of people going, let's go and see this?
Well,
but it's turned into let's go and see this.
It's brilliantly timed because it's August and August is a bit of a quiet month for films. Summer's wrapped up over in the US, you know, that summer season. So their timing was very solid. It's also a major co-production with China.
Right.
So it has made an absolute mozza in China.
Yeah, that's it then. I can't remember the figures. I saw how much it made over the weekend.
Made something like $44 million in the States alone.
Pretty damn good.
Yeah.
If we try and cast our minds back to what Avengers made that first week, I mean, obviously that was a huge amount.
I made that on like
Exactly. And then you kind of go back to the Han Solo thing and it's somewhere
about
in there.
The same Solo. Yeah. It opened bigger than Ready Player One and Rampage.
Oh,
so
right.
Rampage is quite comparable, I feel.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
And Ready Player One had every franchise ever directed by Steven Spielberg. And yeah, so good on you, Jason Statham.
Good on you. That's amazing.
Their plastic surgeon doesn't want them doing any activity where balls fly at their nose. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I did see a quick little story from Disney, if I can just find where I hid it, about the live action
Mulan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've sort of shared a little bit of it, not too much, but they shared a touch of it.
I saw a photo of Mulan.
That's basically all we've got at the moment, except for the fact that the casting director saw nearly 1,000 people for the role.
Sure.
And Crystal Liu got it, which is fantastic. Congratulations. But you made me think about it when you said for the Chinese market. I wonder if Disney are pushing this for the Chinese market as well.
Sure. Make a lot of sense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a big market.
Photos of upcoming films that surprised me. Mulan. The other one, Dora the Explorer.
Yes.
Dora has boobs.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of the Mario. Was the last game Odyssey?
Yeah.
Where some of the posters and images before the launch of the game was that Mario had nipples.
Yep. And it was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very weird. It looks like they've dressed Kate McCucci up as a child.
It's
not working for me. Two trailers that one of them got me a little more excited than the other. I've talked before about Wreck-It Ralph 2,
yep,
which is now officially titled Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Amazing. Was it the second trailer?
I think we saw? This week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the second one?
I think so, yeah. It should be called Ralph Wrecks the Internet. They've even made that joke in the trailers. But we saw that there's a level called Slaughter Race.
Yes.
A world that they're in, which is like a death race type car carnage. I don't know how you describe it, really. But it seems like a nice play on the Sugar Rush land from the first film. And Gal Gadot is one of the death race drivers.
Amazing.
Which is very cool. But then they showed more of the Disney princesses together with Vanellope, and they were all in casual nightwear. And Merida from Brave talks, and I don't know if you remember, but she has a very thick Scottish brogue, and she says a bunch of stuff. And then Snow White turns to her, and she's like, we don't understand what she says either. She's from the other studio. There's a really sick burn.
Very clever.
So I'm very excited to see them integrating Star Wars, Pixar, and Marvel.
Yeah. So when's that out? That must be...
Just before Christmas.
Yeah, if we've got another... If we're up to second trailer, yeah, we're getting a bit closer.
Not too far off.
Now, you said Slaughterhouse, yes. Or Slaughter, and I saw that Slaughterhouse Rules had a new trailer. How good did that look?
It looks sick!
Really? You're not that impressed? I just thought it would be perfect for that sort of teen, probably even going into early sort of 20s audience. Look, but yet they've still got the Simon Pegg and sort of Nick Frost thing going on there.
Yes. I don't think they're going to be on screen too much.
No, I think they're cameos.
Yeah, it seems like it's more of a teen film with some funny actors playing teachers and things like that. For some backstory, it's a private school gets terrorized by some monsters because they've sold off some of their land and for fracking. Simon Pegg said it's a big metaphor for the private school system selling off over in the UK.
I don't know about you, but it kind of had a bit of a Harry Potter parody feel to it.
It felt like Harry Potter mixed with Attack the Block.
Yeah.
Which, if it gets half as good as either of those, it'll be good fun. I've seen Nick Frost slum it in a couple of things. He's always good fun, but it's movies that feel like he's dipped down to do.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that this one's really strong.
Did they write it?
No.
Okay.
No, they're not involved in.
Yeah. Okay.
In any behind the scenes stuff.
All right.
Which is
right.
Why I feel a bit nervous because
it's not them.
When it's them with Edgar Wright, you get Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead, and when it's not, you get Paul, which is Seth Rogen voicing a crap alien.
Yeah, I remember that. It said it was coming out around, said for Halloween, so yeah. I assumed a week or two before, potentially.
Not too long.
Yeah, that's really soon. Mm. Anything else?
Nope. That's enough news, don't you think?
A fair bit of news. All right, what have you been watching?
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Well, the first thing I've watched is a lot of American Ninja Warrior.
How many?
I won't dwell on it. I watched four of the quarterfinals, basically the city finals of each. So everyone's now going to Vegas. I talked a couple of episodes about how they'd opened it up for 19-year-olds. It's completely shaken up the game, and a bunch of the highest, best times this year have come from 19-year-olds.
Wow.
Yes. So you've got a lot of rookies.
Are you enjoying that change? Do you think that the rest of the audience are really on board with it?
I think so. And the other competitors are loving it because it's making them step up.
Yeah, fantastic.
Suddenly they're competing with some, there's a guy called The Kid who's 6'4".
Spoken about him before.
The dude's insane.
So he's going pretty well.
He's doing really well. Like his first time on the city qualifiers where you have 10 things, I think he got up to the ninth one.
Jeez.
And it was like a tiny slip at the last second that made him not get to the very end.
Damn.
But like really good debut.
Yeah.
The biggest shock was the guy who, the only person to ever finish American Ninja Warrior, win $1 million. A couple of years ago, he retired. He won and then instantly retired.
Yeah, why not?
He came back, and the first, first qualifier, he smashed through and made it look easy. And then this one, he slipped on the third thing,
Oh no way!
He it was the simplest thing, and he dropped out before almost everyone else competing that night.
He must have been gutted.
Yeah, he looked pretty disappointed. Anyway, he said he'll be back next year.
Okay.
So we're onto the home stretch now. Now's the real.
This is when it really starts.
What about you? What have you been watching?
Well, I watched a show on Netflix called Amazing Interiors that I thought you might like, actually.
Sounds good.
So a lot of the places, I watched two episodes, a lot of the places look quite normal from outside, like a normal suburban house somewhere in Chicago, right?
Yep.
You go inside and this guy is crazy, crazy obsessed with the baseball team, the Cubs.
Okay.
Chicago Cubs.
The Cubs.
No, yeah, that's
the
Bears. Yeah. He has spent thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars.
I respect that.
Just the whole basement basically is just a big Cubhouse, and he hosts these amazing charity events where he'll get past or present players in, and they sort of, they charge people to go in there, and it all goes off to charity, which was really cool. And there was a young English couple from London, and they were kind of like, those kind of people?
Yeah.
They're like, dad's like really good at doing like art and stuff, so he's come in and helped us with the taps. And you're like, what? I don't understand. they bought a boat, one of those barges, you know, those canal barges that they have in England, and, well, actually in France as well. And they have completely gutted it from the inside and refurbished it. And I thought, oh, no, what's it going to look like? Actually, it looked really nice in the end. Yeah, it looked like they'd obviously cleaned it up for the TV show, but it looked pretty cool.
Nice.
There was a guy in Israel who's this is why I think you're going to like it.
Okay.
One of his walls in his lounge room was just this enormous fish tank that he goes scuba diving in to clean it out.
Sweet.
Yeah. when he goes on holidays, he asks one of his sons, who he's completely shown how to do everything, to come in every day and see to it.
Oh, you've got to do it every day.
It was very cool. Very awesome. Cool. And a whole heap of other houses with really interesting niche ideas or just things that look really cool. Yep. It's called Amazing Interiors. It's on Netflix.
Okay, cool.
20-minute episodes, maybe. You know, very palatable.
Yeah, nice.
What else have you been watching?
Well, continuing from that, I watched one called Tiny Paradise, which I've seen some before, and it's, you know, tiny home building, but it's a bit different from other ones, because the other ones you normally see a family or they talk about, here's what we want, and then it sort of goes off to the shop and people go and build it, and then the end of the episode is the big reveal of, oh, I can't believe this.
Oh my gosh, you guys did such a great job on our new tiny house.
Yeah, this one, the people build it.
That's cool.
So there's no host, there's no shipping off. They might have friends come in and build parts with them and stuff, but it's the people actually building it, talking about it.
Yeah, that's cool.
So it's very cool.
That is really cool, because most of the, when I think about it, even the article that I saw maybe about 5 years ago when tiny houses started to be a thing. It was always they have someone to do it for them.
Yeah, this was, he was almost a cliche. He was like a surfy Australian dude who'd moved to Hawaii.
Yeah, right. Yep.
It was tiresome how Byron Bay they were.
Okay.
But repurposed wood, and oh, we found these windows by the side of the road and we're going to use them to do this, and I found this old brass container and I've cut it open. Wow, there's metal cables. We can use those. And
okay, so he must be friends with the couple from London then.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. But yeah, that was kind of good fun.
What else have you been watching?
So Wrecked came back. I think mentioned last week I was very excited.
Yeah.
It's the Lost parody show, and I did call it. It does look like it's going to be a Hunger Games style hunting man.
It sounds like Battle Royale.
Yeah. Yeah. They're only down to 9 survivors now. So
okay.
I don't know how many more they'll pick off, or whether they'll just find other people in the jungle and they'll be the random red shirts.
You never know.
Yeah. But it's great to see it come back.
How many seasons is that now?
This is the third one. And I keep being surprised that it gets another season. You know, it's a mid-season show, so it's not competing with too much stuff. They only do 10 episodes. But it looks amazing.
So there's money behind the production.
Yeah. And look, they don't go and film in Hawaii like Lost did, because it's so expensive. They film in Vanuatu.
That's all right.
Still beautiful locations, but obviously working different tax incentives.
Yes, of course.
It's just such a silly show.
Talk about silly. I went to see Empire Records at the movies.
Shock me with that devious behavior.
Now, when do you reckon the last time you saw that movie was?
Last year.
Oh, okay. So not that long ago.
I'm a regular rewatcher.
Well, for me, this is probably, I was trying to think how many times I've seen it before. It's probably my 5th watch over the years, which is not too bad. But I'm pretty sure the last one was at least 5 years ago. So for me, there was a lot of bits where, you know, I was going with some friends and a couple of them were quoting bits from the movie.
Oh, you'd forgotten how silly Lucas was gambling the money away at the beginning.
Oh, Lucas, what a silly guy. He's crazy.
And Liv Tyler's annoying boyfriend, which in real life was her stepfather at the time or something.
Oh, that's not cool. That's not cool at all. There were bits in there that felt like, When you watch it by yourself or, you know, just at home on DVD, there are moments in it where you think, they've got this, timing's a bit funny in it, the timing's a bit odd. But then when I watched it in the cinema with other people, that's where people laugh.
Yes, they've left laugh breaks in it.
Yeah, they've left laugh breaks in it. And I thought, I don't know if that style, that rhythm, the tempo that Empire Records and movies made around that time with those sort of not indie but indie feel to it, you know what I mean? I don't know if they make that genre anymore.
The touch of sitcom. It doesn't do it anymore, does it? No.
And it's always funny, even though you know that there's a lot of people in there who have gone on to do other things, it's still hilarious to watch them and go, whoa, Renee Zellweger,
yep,
that's, you're very young.
And Ethan Embry.
Yeah.
Who I think we last saw getting his face ripped off on, stabbed in the neck by...
In Walking Dead.
When they first arrived at Alexandria.
That's right. I got him mixed up with Jesse McCarthy for a second there. Yeah, but I always remember him from Can't Hardly Wait, which was after Empire Records. But I know that last week you were talking about the fact that you saw the original Predator at the movies.
Yes.
And how fun it is to go and see a movie that everybody in the theatre pretty much has seen already several times. There's this energy.
That's why Rocky Horror Picture Show is still going.
Yeah, and Grease sing-alongs as well. I've never been to either of them.
I would never go to Grease.
It's Grease Lightning.
I'd rather kick my own face.
Oh, wow. What about Grease 2? Kick your own face twice.
Sure.
What else have you been watching?
I went and saw Mission Impossible Fallout.
Good. Okay. Because you were very pumped for this. Yeah. The reviews were, for me, I thought surprisingly positive. In fact, people were raving about it as one of the greatest action films of the last couple of years. What did you think?
It was great.
Really?
Really great.
Really?
Yeah. Rollicking from start to finish, breakneck moments of exposition, but they generally found a way to weave that in with still some action or suspense and drama.
Yeah,
and
right.
It wasn't just techno babble from Simon Pegg and this sort of stuff. Yeah. It was really well done. They paid off a joke that's been running since, I think, the third one.
Did you only get that joke because you've seen the movies recently? Because you rewatched them recently, didn't you?
Look, I think I still would have caught it, but maybe not as much.
Yeah.
Like, it really made me chuckle, and it was just a very throwaway thing.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I really,
Is it a double watch at the cinemas?
I don't think I need to go see it again. You know, it's spectacle.
Yeah.
And there's great action pieces all sewn together and stuff. I don't need to rewatch again right away. There's not nearly as much. It's not a big mystery.
Yeah.
There's a bad
there's
guy.
There's no twist.
Well, there's a bad guy. There's always a bad guy that you can guess pretty early on.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I did spend a lot of the movie watching Henry Cavill's moustache.
Oh, this was the moustache.
This was the moustache.
That then had to be CGI'd out of the reshoot for Batman.
Justice League. Yeah, that made him look like Shrek.
Yeah, it was a weird CGI
thing.
It was
not good. And so this one, instead, I just watched his moustache anytime he was on screen.
Was it luscious?
No.
Oh.
It could have been so much more. It felt like it needed 2 centimetre more handles on the side.
Okay, yeah.
It was close. But not quite butch enough for my liking.
Fair enough. No Merv Hughes going
on. No. It tapered at the lip line.
He can do facial hair though, Henry.
Yeah.
They should give him all the facial hair he can potentially grow.
I want to see him get gruff. Just scruffy, gruffy.
What about if you have a scruffy, gruffy Henry with a Tom Hardy? Like, they're both super scruffy, gruffy.
I do remember him being scruffy in one of the Men of Steel's.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd been out working on a fishing trawler or something.
Oh, was that the first one?
Yeah.
Yes, I remember that. That was weird.
It was weird.
But I think he even grew facial hair in The Tudors, if we can cast our minds back to that. It's been a while since I've seen it, though. But I'm pretty sure as they got older, he grew facial hair, so he looked older, even though he was probably, you know, early 20s when he filmed it.
You didn't say the magic word. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
What else have you been up to television watching wise?
So the next episode of Making It came out, which was great.
Lived up to the first one because you really enjoyed
I really enjoyed that first one.
So did Lynn. She was raving about it.
Well, this one, they had to create a miniature world in a terrarium.
I already love this.
I know. There's so many things about that. Like, I'm proud to say I was ahead of the curve on the terrarium craze that's blowing up Etsy over the last 2 years. I've been making terrariums for a couple of years and stuff. But yeah, they had to make something that represented their home.
Oh, that's cool.
Using different materials.
So how many is there? Is it 3?
Down to 7.
Seven. Oh, okay, I get you. Because I haven't caught the first episode, so I wasn't quite sure of how the whole episode to episode goes. But it's a continuation.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, there's 8 contestants, okay. And they lose one each week.
Right. Okay. So I wasn't sure if it was a bit like Nailed It, where it's 3 separate people every time.
No, so it's the same contestants the whole time through, and they have a big challenge and a small challenge each week, or a Mastercraft challenge.
Cool.
Yes.
I think this show's got, you know, legs to stand on. I have a feeling it's going to hang around for a bit.
Yep. And they did not the same joke, but a similar joke of at the end of the person who'd been eliminated still hanging out in their house with them.
having a wine on the porch, I think you said last week.
Yeah, last week it was wine on the porch. This week, I can't remember what it was. It made me chuckle.
Just as endearing.
Yes.
I finally got around to watching some of This Country. There are 2 seasons through now. Both on iView, ABC iView, if you want to catch it. But it's sort of a cross between The Royals and The Office. It's that kind of mockumentary feel to it. It's about a small village, and it focuses on cousins. So a guy and a girl, they're best friends, and they're cousins as well. And they're sort of that rough kind of, you know, English, not geezer because they're from not in the middle of London, but they're that kind of rough, you know, wearing nothing but Everlast. Kind of tracksuits.
I believe the term you're looking for is chav.
Thanks, that's the word. They are a brother and sister duo who are behind it. And I was trying to look at exactly what their background are. They're the Coopers. And it looked like Daisy and Charlie are both independently actors who have done bits and pieces. She's done a little bit more than he has, and I guess that's kind of their in for how they got on, and they got BBC Three season last year, and the latest season was earlier this year, so that's why we've got all of them.
Sure.
But I also saw that they have been signed up already for a 3rd season. So
cool.
This is the kind of comedy that I really like.
Yeah, you vibing?
Yeah, The Royals, The Office, like that's me right there. That kind of if you remember in The Office, Dawn would give that sort of side glance to the camera. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like, what the hell is this all? There's a bit of that going on.
Sure.
I like it.
Nice.
Binged it too. I watched about 5 episodes in
really?
A row. Yeah, I couldn't stop. Steph was there and she said, are you still watching that? I went, yeah, sorry. I just can't stop. We will have a Fear the Walking Dead chat in a moment behind the spoilers, but is there anything else that you've watched?
One last one. It's a show from a few years ago, but I only just stumbled across it. It's called Shaq Versus.
Hello.
Yeah, and it's Shaq taking on different sports people or different professionals in their field.
In their
doing
field.
Their thing.
Wow.
So I haven't seen any of the first season. It's all sports people. Mm-hmm. I saw one episode from the 2nd season, and it was him doing magic with Penn and Teller.
That would be great.
Or as he insisted on calling it, Shaq and Teller, because he paired up with Teller and made Penn go and do his own thing.
Amazing.
And he was really bad, like really, really bad at magic.
But is that the bit that's entertaining?
That's
though?
The bit, is because he's so confident and he believes he's going to do great. And I think the catchphrase in the show is, much to Shaq's disappointment, because I heard that 3 different times in this 40-minute episode. In the 2nd half, he goes up against Sugar Ray in boxing.
Yeah, right.
Like one of the world's best boxers.
Yeah.
And he lasts 5 rounds.
Wow.
And it's amazing because this guy, you know, he's a tiny,
the
really,
height
really
difference
quick.
Would be enormous.
Well, Shaq, his arms were so long that he could, when he was punching him in the face, the other guy's arms wouldn't reach Shaq. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it was that whole thing of giant versus speed. And Shaq put some mighty blows in. He also got smacked around the head a whole bunch. He did lose.
Okay.
But by only 1 mark.
That's not too bad.
It was very
5
impressive.
Rounds, come on.
Yeah. So I'm going to watch a bit more of this show because
it sounds entertaining and endearing.
Endearing is the perfect word for it because his confidence is admirable from his size, and similar to the Shark Week thing a few weeks ago, where learning about the size of flippers he would require, he makes you actually just go, wow, the mechanics of how he operates is just so different.
So different.
So it was the same thing with this boxing of just, wow, he's operating on a different level and he doesn't need the same level of skill as other people because he has these advantages from size. But then there are ones that seem to work against him. So I saw a trailer for him taking on Justin Bieber in a dance contest. Does not look like it's going to work out.
Already going to have to Google that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, we have done a lot of watching this week.
Been busy.
Yeah, very busy. All right, so what we'll do, Fear the Walking Dead spoiler chat will be at the very end.
Yes.
We might as well kick on with this quiz because it's a doozy.
Okay, I'm ready to dive in.
So this is sent in by Rory. He sent it into the email address, thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Cheers, Rory.
Therefore, you can do the same. We're given two actors' names, and we have to come up with a synopsis for a film that they would be in together.
Okay.
So there's only five. We'll see how we go.
Sure.
The first one is Keegan-Michael Key and Simon Pegg, a movie that they would be in. I'm kind of thinking a road trip.
Yes.
Across the UK.
Sure.
So that Simon can do his own accent.
Yep.
I want Keegan to do the fish out of water American thing.
Will he be exasperated the whole time?
Yeah, the whole time. And I'm also hoping for some slow motion walking, but not in slow motion, just him doing slow motion walking.
Okay, and what's this road trip towards? Are they burying their stepfather?
Yes. Whose real father is it?
Simon's.
Okay, Simon's real father.
Who was doing business in the States and had a hookup.
Oh, so they've only met recently.
Yes,
they met
at the funeral. Yes.
They met at the funeral, which means they're butting heads already.
And they're going to scatter the ashes.
Yeah, they're going to scatter them.
Off the cliffs of Dover.
And, of course, the wind happens.
And back in their face. There's an argument. God damn it, Donnie. This has turned into Big Lebowski.
I think we did that.
Yeah.
All right, what about Daniel Craig and Tom Cruise? Now, these are two action guys going head-to-head here. Who's going to get the biggest role? Or is it going to be that they have to have the exact amount of lines each?
Oh,
it's even.
Will
Daniel Craig take a slightly lesser...
Daniel Craig has to.
He has to.
Yeah, Tom Cruise is in charge of that ship. I could see it being, maybe it's like a Olympics for older men.
For older men. You know what? Daniel Craig's the bad guy. He puts on some generic European accent, and Tom Cruise plays the American who has to save the day and win the gold medal.
Sure. Oh, and maybe in the baton.
The baton's got the bomb.
And if he's slower than 10 miles an hour, it explodes.
It explodes, and if he goes faster, which means he can't give it to Usain Bolt, who makes a cameo.
Of course.
Because he runs too fast, it'll explode as well.
Yeah.
Perfect. And Daniel Craig does some sort of just that smirk, you know, the evil.
He does that half evil smirk.
Does
he got peroxide white hair?
I hope so. Yes, of course he will. And it's a buzz cut.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
I will get you.
Yeah, really bad accent. Meg Ryan and Jack Nicholson. I know I've got it. It's Joker off. Meg Ryan's, last time I saw her plastic surgeon.
It's not looking good.
Jack Nicholson comes back, reprises his Joker role from the, you know, the late 80s Batman movies.
Yes.
He was just in the one. And you've got Meg Ryan there, and she sees him in her dreams because she's haunted by what she sees in the mirror every morning.
Oh.
So he's almost like the devil on her shoulder.
Yeah.
He is the conscience, and she goes crazy like the Joker.
Sure. I could see her smashing her forehead into a mirror already.
She's going to win an Oscar for this.
Yeah.
She's definitely going to. All right. Evan Rachel Wood and Millie Bobby Brown.
Oh, it's got to be an 80s dance-off.
Oh, yes.
Breakdancing. Electric Boogaloo 3.
Evan Rachel Wood, older sister of?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Who has the real
talent?
She
used to be in charge of the crew, and she's moved on, and now Millie, she's real young. She shouldn't be in charge
of
the crew.
She shouldn't be.
But she's so damn talented.
She's so good.
They can't hold her back anymore.
They shouldn't.
And she's still got the good boombox.
Yes. Oh, they both have perms and enormous wave fringes. And if we could get a cameo, oh man, his name has escaped me, but from Police Academy that does all the sound effects with his own mouth.
Michael Winslow.
Get him in there to do a little bit. Even if he just sort of comes along and goes, oh, don't worry, I'll DJ for you, and goes, waka, 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 you know, that kind of thing.
And there needs to be a bit where she spins on her head so hard she gets a nosebleed.
Yes!
The continuity.
Man, we are good. We are so good at this. We've only got one left.
One left. Whoa.
Adam Driver and Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, he's the... So this is a new Aliens movie, because there was that Aliens one where they cloned Sigourney and Winona Ryder.
Yes, I remember that. Was that the fourth one?
Yeah, Resurrection. So in this one, he could be the new male offshoot, because the Aliens are always dominated by female form, female xenomorphs.
Yes.
So maybe he could even be a hermaphrodite xenomorph.
He could easily be.
What a mouthful.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, not me. Yeah. I would have messed that up. Yeah, and Sigourney Weaver's just looking really stressed because the aliens are back.
Yeah, and she
just can't get away from them.
Well, maybe she's not even human anymore. Maybe she's, you know, xenomorph wearing human skin.
She's gone off, yeah.
Or maybe he turns out to actually be a robot and also is Newt, the little girl's biological father. Because they keep fucking up the alien timeline. Why can't we?
Yeah, let's just go crazy. And Millie Bobby Brown walks past, moonwalks backwards,
yep,
past with a nosebleed.
And cardboard under her arm, folded up, ready.
Exactly. We've done it. We won.
Bring it on.
Gosh.
More of that, please.
Yeah, more of that. That was really good. If you've got some more ridiculous quizzes for us, thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com, send them in.
Yeah, or Hollywood, if you want those ideas, right. We're available.
Yeah, we're totally available. And will work for a lot of money.
Yeah.
Spoiler time.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
Fear the Walking Dead is back.
It is.
What do you think of this episode? I did not like the way it started off with Morgan saying, I'm going to go back now.
He's not going back.
Of course he's not.
He's going to be New Madison. He's going to bring those disparate people back together and discover the leadership that was within him all along, when he could have gone back and taken over on proper Walking Dead because Rick is going.
Yeah, exactly.
So now that he's the Rick Was Right champion,
mm-hmm,
that's going to be his methodology of leading. And then eventually, if he does go back to the show, he's going to realize Rick's gone and maybe he was following the wrong thing again.
He was wrong.
Stop
again.
Listening to other people's philosophies.
Just
Morgan.
Be yourself, Morgan, man. All those birds.
It's a zombie-nado coming.
I wondered at first,
yeah,
if there was like a cruise ship that had...
Sure.
And then all of a sudden we started to see them actually fly at the big SWAT mobile.
Yeah. It's like Twister, awesome. Like in Twister with the cows going by.
Next episode's going to be a bit crazy, isn't it? Why? We're going to see the aftermath of all of this.
I don't know if it's going to be the aftermath yet. I have a feeling.
You reckon the whole season, rest of the season, is going to be this?
I don't know if it'll be full season. But
I hope not.
I think we'll get an episode because everyone's out in this storm.
Mm-hmm.
They're all spread out. Someone's going to have a bad time. I think the ramifications of this, because this is finally a villain or a seasoned big bad on the show that they can't fight or can't push back on it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
This is a very unique thing that neither Dead Show has tried yet. So I kind of am excited by I hope it's not over after one episode.
I understand what you mean.
Yeah, if it's,
yeah,
the thing happens, like all I can compare it with was last year, that dam blew up.
Yep.
We saw all the water coming down, a few bodies float up, and then it was never addressed again. But that's a huge seismic event. We'd followed all these communities that depended on that water and we didn't see the fallout on them.
Yeah.
So if we can see a huge thing and then see the aftermath of how this, you know, maybe John's cabin has now washed away. Maybe the bridge setup they've got, the bridge comes down in the storm. You know, all this stuff that they've set up.
Because nobody's there, are they? Exactly. Everybody's left that bridge.
Yes. All this stuff that they've set up and these nice little worlds that they've just discovered for themselves,
mm-hmm,
are probably going to get trashed and, whoop, we're going to have to move again.
Well, I did notice that the front door of the mansion was left open as, mm-hmm, she ran out. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Can you be more careful?
And don't listen to jazz so loud.
Why? Who listens to jazz that loud?
Not that
particularly
loud.
In an apocalypse. Like, if anything, you're attracting the... She's attracting them.
You reckon?
By her music.
Yeah.
Well, before the storm came. Yeah, I think this is, once again, a reboot of Fear. They've had quite a few reboots. And it does already feel like it's going to be very different from the first half of this season.
Well, yeah, we're down to only three characters remaining from the original show.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's insane.
Well, there's one actor who was there in episode one.
Yep, one and only.
One that came in episode six or five.
I think he arrived in the second last episode of that first season.
And then Luciana wasn't until season two. When he was when Nick was in Mexico.
That's right.
But yeah, it is a clear reboot, and they've, you know, by getting rid of Madison as well, they've clearly separated the old from the new. Mm-hmm. I keep waiting for Liam Neeson to show up and save Al.
Perfect.
She, you know, Taken, she just depended on him. Then Taken 3, she got to do some of her own stuff. Yeah. I like to imagine that it's her character.
It's still her. Yeah. I like that. Mm. There's somebody who's written a whole entire synopsis about
that. Yeah, there's fanfic about that for sure.
Absolutely. I'm kind of also wondering when the vultures are going to pop back in.
Sure.
They're not 100% gone.
No. And there's got to be more clashes with people.
Yeah,
whether
you would think
new
so.
Or vultures, but... You know, they telegraphed that a little bit with this of, I don't want to go back on the road because we know what sort of people are out there. That's people like us are out there.
We're the worst.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rick's pretty bad too, though. I would not be wanting to go to Alexandria with Morgan because, I mean, I know what it's like there and I've got no interest in going there.
And if Morgan goes back, he's just going to want to hang around someone who's now in a jail cell. You know who I mean.
I know. And don't do it.
He's going to think he's rehabilitated. He's going to be the one that opens the gate.
And then that all happens. Yeah. I think that's it.
Yeah.
We've done it. I actually thought it was going to take us forever to get through everything that we needed to talk about today.
We got through. We moved it a clip.
We are the champions.
Yeah, I'm energized from last night.
Yes, because you saw...
Katy Perry.
And you dressed as...
Shark, left shark. And
how did that go?
It was great. Linz was dressed as jilted bride Katy Perry from, I want to say, Hot and Cold. I've forgotten.
Yes, I remember.
Yes. Yep. And Shay was dressed as California girl.
Nice.
Katy Perry.
Had the best time?
We had a great time. Katy spotted me from stage and was like, hey, there's a guy in a shark costume. Are you all right? You look hot. I was like, I'm really hot.
Yeah, you would have been.
Yeah. It was a great night out. There was singing. There was dancing. It was late.
And you got spotted by Katy Perry.
Yeah.
Can't ask for anything else. We will be back next week for more hilarity, news stories, and watching. Tom, thank you.
Schnuggle welcome.